Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 11th of October. It's All Things Political coming up in just a moment. Susan Page will join us. Susan is the Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, and she's written some, well, she always writes interesting articles. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the midterm elections and why it is that the Republicans are much more fired up about this election. How good an election will it be for the Republicans? And why are people leaning that way? It's also, as I said before the news, the 50th anniversary of the election of John Kennedy, who is ranked by many people as among one of our better presidents. We'll talk about that, a little bit of history during this hour. And from left and right is her current article, Differing Views of the Government's Proper Role. So Susan Page joins us in just one moment. The second hour of our program today, Donna Shalala will be with us. She has a lot to say about health care reform and has just chaired a major study on nursing and how nurses who are highly educated should have much more of a role in administering health care. She, of course, has strong Wisconsin ties. She will be our guest the second hour of our program. But let me begin by saying that Rhonda Fanning, producer extraordinaire, is with us in our studios right now because we are having our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. And it's pretty easy to give to us, and we hope you will during this hour because I know many of you are political junkies and love this hour as I do. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really only takes a couple minutes of your time, and then you're off and running on this Monday and you're feeling good. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. I just wanted to start by saying that last hour they had a goal of 200 calls, and they heard from 278 listeners.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just want to thank everyone who pledged last hour.
That's great.
This hour we have a goal of 50 pledges, and these hourly goals are so important. They help us stay on track with the funds needed to keep the discussion going on Wisconsin Public Radio. So please take a moment right now and pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we'll be talking to Susan Page about all things political, an hour that's always informative, perhaps increasingly so as we approach major elections. And discussions like this and all the political news we give you, the election coverage we give you, all of these discussions possible because of your financial support. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. And if you pledge this hour at that $150 level, you can get this year's the 20th anniversary of the Ideas Network. And if you pledge at that amount this hour, you will receive the coffee mug, the 20th anniversary coffee
All right.
mug. It's important to make a gift of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's pretty simple to give either at WPR.org or that number again, 888-202-2552. All we need is your name. We need your contact information, the amount that you are giving, and how you would like to pay.
You can use a credit card if you'd like. It saves both you and WPR time and postage. Or better yet, you can sign up for an automatic sustaining donation from your bank account. Just gets taken out automatically every month. And don't worry, we won't share any of your personal information with any other organization. So please go now to WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
I know this happens to me almost every day, but you've been listening to the Ideas Network or you're driving in the car and you heard something that just was so interesting that you stopped and you had to listen to this. I try to time my rides, actually, so that I'm listening to the news because I like to hear the news on the top of the hour. And I usually stop to listen to what's going on, no matter what you're doing, if you're eating breakfast or whatever, you want to hear the news. We strive every day for programs that open your eyes and engage your brain, programs that affect your life. And this is the kind of radio that can only happen with your financial support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And for your pledge of $120 or more, you'll receive that WPR member card. I love having that member card.
I know you do. It's great.
It's a card that gives you 2-for-1 discounts at over 200 participating restaurants throughout Wisconsin, 50 B&Bs, 55 cultural attractions, and 22 golf courses. The member card is a year-long reminder of how grateful we are for your support today. We couldn't produce the great radio without your donations, so we're happy to send you the member card as our way of saying thank you.
Give now $120 or more. You'll receive the member card. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, that goal this hour is 50 pledges, and so far we've heard from 12 people, so keep those calls coming in, and thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks very much, Rhonda. Thanks for all of your work, and we're happy to plunge right into all things political for this Monday. And welcome your phone calls for Susan Page. We're getting close to a midterm election. We're going to do a little historical analysis during this hour, and we're going to find out, you know, what exactly from right to left are the differing views of the government's proper role. And according to the recent Gallup poll, Republicans seem to be more fired up for this midterm election. And we'll find out why that is the case. Is it possible that Democrats could narrow the gap by election day of this year? Or is it fairly inevitable that Republicans will have a significant turnout advantage? And why people are supporting Republicans? Let's ask you that as well. I know some of you are, some of you aren't, but we'd like to hear from all of you during this hour. Susan Page is our guest. She's been with us many times before. She is the Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. And Susan, hello, happy Monday.
Kathleen, it's great to be back with you.
Yeah, very nice to have you here. I first have to comment on yesterday's weather. I don't know what you had, but we had 80 degrees yesterday and an absolutely perfect day. And I went to sleep last night thinking of the leaves, and we took the dogs running in a pond. And oh, my gosh, it was great.
Oh, that sounds pretty nice. And yet here you are back at work again on Monday morning.
I know. And in a pledge drive, no less. Huh? It's all right. It's all right. Well, let's talk about the midterm elections here. How much more fired up are GOP voters, and why are Republican voters more fired up?
You know, I think that voters tend to get more fired up when they're unhappy about something than when they're feeling good. Now, Democrats aren't feeling that good, but Republicans are really angry. They're mad about the health care bill that got passed. They don't like the stimulus. They don't like President Obama. So we see this. It's become, it's a cliche, I guess. It's called the enthusiasm gap, and it is enormous.
Is it?
And it is, you know, for instance,
sure.
Just last week, Gallup went to a likely voter screen, which sounds kind of esoteric, but if you just ask registered voters how they're going to vote in the election, Republicans have a 3 percentage point advantage. So an advantage, but not a huge one. But if you add this screen about how likely are you to actually bother on election day to get up, go to the polls and vote, that advantage extends to double digits for Republicans, which is huge.
Yeah. And why? What is it that the Republicans are offering is attractive to voters this midterm?
You know, I don't think Republicans are, I think a fair-minded analysis would say Republicans are not really offering an affirmative agenda that's drawing people. And in fact, in our polling, the Republican Party isn't viewed any more positively than the Democratic Party. Both parties have really dismal ratings. But what we're hearing from conservative voters is that they are unhappy with the direction of the country. They're unhappy, especially with big spending, with the cost of the stimulus program and the auto bailout and the health care bill. And they all want things to change.
We have Donna Shalala with us the second hour, who will talk a lot about health care reform. What is it about health care reform that was so hard fought, certainly, but it will benefit a substantial number of people in this country? What are they upset about? What's wrong with the health care bill?
Well, one thing, of course, is the big goal of the health care bill, which is to extend coverage to most Americans. That doesn't happen until 2014. That's when the big mandate, individual mandate in the law, kicks into effect. So what people have seen so far are some positive steps for many people, but rather small ones. You know, for instance, you can, if you've got a child who's in college or just out of school, not yet 26 years old, you can put them on your health insurance plan under the new law. So that's a good thing for some people, but it doesn't go to the big sweeping advantages that people talked about when the health care law was being passed. And instead, you've got this law that will have new mandates. People are worried it's going to increase their costs. There is a lot of misinformation, and there's a lot of qualms about what this is going to mean in the long run. So I'll tell you, when I've traveled around the country, I see ads on health care only from opponents. The people who supported health care, they're not talking about that issue.
No, they certainly aren't. Would it have made a difference if they had?
Well, it might, because to the degree that there's some misinformation out there, you could correct it. You could tell people how the law is going to work exactly. But I think the administration and Democrats are paying the price for all the time it took to get the health care law passed. You know, the original timetable was supposed to be much faster. So they took more time. It was a messier process than they hoped it would be. They were slow in turning to a jobs agenda, which is the issue that's number one on Americans' minds. Mm-hmm. I think they're just paying a cost right now for all that.
It's hard to imagine, Susan, things being any more partisan than they are right now, isn't it? And I think that the other thing that's going on is people are upset that nothing's getting done. It's hard to imagine that if you have a switch in the House or Senate or both, which may happen, that things aren't going to just come to pretty much a standstill.
You know, we've had a very partisan 2 years since the 2008 election, but the fact is quite a bit has gotten done. You may think it's there are good things or bad things, but Congress has in fact passed some very far-reaching laws. I think we're going to see that pretty much grind to a halt, whatever the precise numbers in the election on November 2nd, because we're going to lose, the Democrats are going to lose these big majorities they had in the House and Senate. So whether or not they are technically in control of one body or the other, it's just hard to imagine big pieces of legislation getting through in the aftermath of the election we're likely to have.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about jobs for a moment. Why do you think the president, knowing that this certainly is the number one issue, understandably, people are concerned. They've lost their jobs, they don't have jobs, or they've been furloughed, or they just aren't making as much money as they were. Why do you think the president has not been front and center with a major jobs program? It seems to me as though that would have sold pretty well.
You know, it might have sold pretty well if he had chosen to do that instead of health care. But I think he decided that they were either going to do health care in his first year or and a half of his presidency, or it would never get done, and he chose to do that. History may decide that was a brilliant move or a boneheaded one. We don't know at this point. And now we have a situation where there's just no appetite for spending a lot of money on anything. A big jobs bill that costs billions of dollars. You know, even though people are so concerned about the jobless numbers, 9.6% going into this election, there's just not the temperament to spend a lot of money on it.
Mm-hmm. What if he had done both, though, early on? He had this enormous goodwill. A historic election. Couldn't he have started out with both?
Well, he might have, and of course there were advisors in the White House at the time who were urging him to focus on the economy, don't tackle health care. And again, I think, you know, when we're in the middle of it, I think it's hard to judge what history will tell us on whether this was the right move or not. You know, it's not a surprise that Democrats are having a tough midterm election this year. There are a lot of reasons why that happens. The party in power usually has some setbacks in the midterm election. Democrats had two great years, 2006, 2008, gained a lot of seats that they were probably destined to lose, seats in districts that John McCain carried in 2008, for instance. But what is surprising is the depth of the Democratic losses that we're now expecting to see. That has come as a surprise.
Mm-hmm. And how deep will they be, do you think, Susan? Do you want to make a prediction here or not?
You know, I don't count House seats, not smart enough to count House seats seat by seat, but the people who do, like Charlie Cook and Stu Rothenberg, both expect Republicans to gain the 39 seats they need to have control of the House.
Mm.
Control of the Senate still looks like a tough climb for Republicans, but it's possible, and you have an amazing race going on in Wisconsin that will be part of the answer on whether Democrats or Republicans control the Senate next year.
Yeah, that is a tough race for the incumbent, no doubt about that.
Yes, and that one is a little bit of a surprise. It took a while for that to come on our kind of the national screen as a race where the Democrat was really in trouble. Now Senator Feingold seems to be the second most endangered Democratic incumbent running this year after Blanche Lincoln in Arkansas, who is in considerably worse shape.
Mm-hmm. How much money is pouring into those targeted races from not only from committees but also from these new organizations? We don't know where the money's coming from. We can't find out who their donors are. We don't know who they are, but they have a lot of money, evidently.
We see so much money being spent. It clearly is going to set a record this year.
Oh, my.
And if you go into some of these districts, and I bet some of your listeners have had this experience, there is no more time to sell on local TV. You know, you go into a state like Florida with a competitive governor's race, competitive senate race. There's every ad is a political ad, and there is no time left for television stations to sell. That tells you how much money is being spent.
Isn't that something? After we deplore money in politics year after year after year, this will be a record.
Yes, it's pretty clear this will be a record. And, you know, I think a lot of people have accepted the idea that there's going to be a lot of money in politics. The Supreme Court makes it clear that money is an expression of free speech when it comes to campaigns. What you hear Democrats talking about now, including the president, is the importance of disclosure. Because one thing that's different this year is that we have these groups that do not have to list their contributors. And that is going to be a big issue.
Yeah, that is a big issue for voters. I don't care where you are politically. You'd like to know who's saying what.
Yeah, and of course, after the fact, maybe Congress will enact some disclosure laws. Disclosure laws are something that Americans have become very comfortable with. We've become used to the idea that we can go on a website and see all the people who contributed to a candidate or look at someone who's running for office and see who they contributed to in the past. And so perhaps that system will reassert itself after this election is over. But the fact is, in this election season, we're seeing a lot of money being spent from groups. We don't know where that money's coming from.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of these Tea Party candidates. Were the Republicans, do they run a risk here of losing? And I wonder how many seats. It's hard to believe that O'Donnell's going to win. I mean, that would be something if she won that race. You got the Nevada race where it's closer with Reid. But do they run a risk of forsaking some of those seats simply because the Tea Party has made inroads and they don't know how to deal with the mainstream Republicans, don't know how to deal with the Tea Party, and some of these people are pretty likely to lose?
Yes, very clearly Tea Party candidates won some Republican primaries where they're not in a good position to win the general election, and Christine O'Donnell in Delaware Senate race is the poster child for that. That was a race that Mike Castle, the moderate Republican congressman, if he had won that Republican primary, expectation he would have easily won that Senate seat. Christine O'Donnell, hard to believe that she's going to be able to come from behind and win it. And you mentioned Harry Reid's race, the Senate Majority Leader. You know, he had a moderate Republican opponent who lost the Republican primary. If she had won, chances are good he'd be well behind now. He's still not in very good shape, but he's still in a competitive race against Sharon Angle, who is one of the Tea Party candidates who's been forced to talk about some controversial statements she's made about Social Security and Medicare and the Veterans Administration. So that is a race that Republicans probably could have carried, and now it's really a head-to-head kind of contest.
Mm-hmm. Let's welcome phone calls. Susan Page is our guest this hour, and it's All Things Political, which you always hear on Monday at 9. She's Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. I would imagine most of you are thinking about the midterm elections, but feel free to go in other directions as well. She wrote a very interesting piece recently about the Republican advantage, which she says doesn't reflect positive feelings toward the GOP. Americans didn't rate the Republican Party as significantly better than the Democratic Party. Asked why they support Republican candidates, more than a third of GOP voters cite a negative reason to stop Democrats, oust an incumbent, or oppose Obama. We're getting close enough to the elections that we can talk with you about what you think will happen in the House and in the Senate, and why it is that the Republicans do have this very large enthusiasm advantage in this particular election. All right, we have some phone lines open, actually, so grab them. 800-486-8655. Chrissy Pease is doing our on-air production this morning. She'll answer your calls, get you on the air, and we'll talk some politics the rest of the hour. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, Donna Shalala will be with us. She was Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Clinton administration. She's now president of the University of Miami. She was chancellor of UW-Madison for a number of years. And she is with us to talk about healthcare reform and about a major, major study, 2 years in the making, that looks at the role of nurses. Nursing is part of healthcare reform, more money for nurse education. She's calling for, and the report is actually, for those who are highly qualified, highly skilled and educated nurses to take over many more medical responsibilities. So she's with us, hour number two of the program. And just a reminder that we're in a pledge drive. So if you love these kind of political discussions that we have every Monday as much as we do, please call with your pledge, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. We start our call, Susan, with Bill from Neenah. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for the program.
Sure.
Listen every day, and I'm also a contributor.
Thank you.
One of the things that I've noticed this year, and maybe it's my political viewpoint, but I seem to be losing my local political choice. The ads seem to be almost exclusively aimed at national issues, and because that's my opinion, I guess. I don't see local subjects, local concerns as much.
For candidates for state office, are you saying?
Yes, for state office. I think you're right, Bill.
I think you're right. There are that a lot of the things are somehow connected to the administration or to what's going on nationally. Susan, do you think?
You know, Bill, you're exactly right, and the Republicans would be very glad to hear you making this observation, because one of the big things Republicans wanted to do this year was make this a nationalized election, where when you go in and vote for your local member of Congress, you're thinking about Barack Obama and whether you want him to be president. In contrast, Democrats were interested in making this what they call a choice election, where you're thinking about the two candidates on the ballot and which one would do a better job. But this election's been pretty effectively nationalized. It's become centered all across the country on issues like the health care bill, the stimulus bill, the national jobless rate. So I'm not surprised to hear you talk about that happening in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Jim in Milwaukee. Hi.
Yeah, hi. There was a article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Saturday in the front page section entitled GOP Pulls Ad Cast with, quotes, hickey actors. It was a 30-second spot from the National Republican Senatorial Committee. And the ad showed men in flannel shirts and baseball caps worrying that Democratic Governor Joe Manchin would side with the President Obama if elected to the Senate. The casting call listed clothing options, including John Deere or trucker hats that are, quotes, not brand new, preferably beat up. And the casting call said, quotes, we're looking for a hickey blue-collar look, it said. These characters are from West Virginia, so think coal miner and trucker looks. So this just shows the basic Republican contempt and willingness to manipulate blue-collar workers and you know, it's just really an insult to working people.
Susan.
You know, you'd think they could go into West Virginia and find some people in flannel shirts looking like working men to talk in their ads, and that's obviously what they should have done. You know, it's not surprising. They, you know, ads for both parties use actors, but this was, I thought, you know, particularly inept, especially when it became public that they were filming this in a Philadelphia diner with actors that they had described in ways that I think a lot of working people find a little insulting.
Mm-hmm. And while you were talking about that, I was just thinking about those miners. What a day that's going to be to see them reach Earth again. And the quality of who they are as people, that they all wanted to go last. I know it's not an all things political story, but it really is an incredible story, isn't it?
Yeah, we're really hoping it works.
Yes.
What a remarkable piece of engineering they've done.
Yeah, yeah. Tim is next from Brookfield. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, in 2006, 2008, it was basically a referendum on the Bush agenda, and Democrats had all the enthusiasm. You know, you pointed out it's typically the power and the party in the minority where there's more discontent and more enthusiasm. You know, as far as advertising, one of the points I was going to make in our local race here, you know, I'm a Milwaukee guy. Yeah, I lived in Milwaukee for a few years. Now I'm out in Waukesha County. I like both, you know, Barrett and Walker. I just see right now the Democrats, their playbook is just running negative ad after negative ad, you know, especially in the Barrett campaign, attacking Scott Walker. And I've just seen the Walker campaign as being a lot more positive, talking about what he's going to do, not what's been done. And that's what's kind of turning me off a little bit, you know, from the Democrats in general. They're not really talking about the policies. You know, like you said, they're avoiding health care. They're more trying to smear the opponents, and then I guess that's a good strategy for them. But overall, I just think it's kind of a negative tone, and you know, that's why I'm leaning towards Republicans.
You know, Tim, I was reading something, and Susan, maybe you've even written about this. It's striking to me that everybody is negative right now. It seems to be the strategy that both sides feel are going to work. But, Tim, I think both sides in that race have been very negative, and it certainly is a trend nationally that negative advertising is all the rage. Susan?
You know, Tim, there is a lot of negative advertising, but I actually think Tim makes a good point. I was moderating a panel last week at New York Ad Week with a Republican and a Democratic ad executives, and Tad Devine, who is a senior Democratic media guy, was the Democrat on the panel, and he said the strategy that Democrats have followed this year out of necessity has been to try to make the Republican candidate unacceptable. Because this tide is against them. If they just let the tide go, Democrats are going to have a terrible, terrible night. So he said their best course, perhaps their only course, is to make the Republican candidate seem scary or extreme or just generally unacceptable. And I don't know about the race that he was referring to, but I've seen that in other races, including congressional races and gubernatorial races, where the Democrats are definitely on the attack because they think that is the only way they have a shot at winning in this climate.
Yeah. Tune into the governor's race in Wisconsin because it's interesting. Just for you to know that.
I mean,
I know there are a lot
of
interesting races.
I know it's close, but that's about all I know about
right.
it.
Right, yeah. Interesting issues and candidates. Okay, Susan Page is our guest. It's All Things Political. And Tim, thank you very much for your enthusiastic call. She's Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. It's All Things Political for this Monday, the 11th of October. And we are in a pledge drive, and it's an important one. It's very important one. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in our studios in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, where the sun is now shining and the fog has lifted. That's what we
kind of
lifting
it's
the fog.
Foggy out there. You can give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to help pay for the programs you depend on. And we're still looking for about 27 pledges. We had a goal of 50 pledges this hour. We've heard from 23 of you, but we still need 27 more. So please get online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I know that many of you listening just love these kinds of political conversations. I certainly do. So please call and pledge for All Things Political. You decide the amount of your pledge. If you can pledge $150, ask for the Ideas Network anniversary mug. It is our 20th anniversary. So as you listen to us, you can have, you know, your sweet rolls and a cup of Joe it just enhances your listening experience. WPR.org or 202-2552.
You may have found yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion, not able to get out of your car until you hear the end of the show. You appreciate the guests' knowledge and also the callers' questions and views. Kathleen's All Things Political on Monday wouldn't be the show it is without you calling in
right.
every Monday morning. So please make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know that maybe one of you, maybe more, have been listening to WPR for a long time and you didn't pledge. Maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we're listener-supported, and now you know. Nearly 40% of our budget, that's a lot of money, 40% comes from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard, and you said, yes, I do.
Well, you're still listening all these years or months later, so how about a donation now? After you've given, you'll feel great each time you tune in. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much. Rhonda. Susan Page is our guest. It's all things political for this Monday, getting close to midterm elections, so we're concentrating a lot on that subject this hour, and we have one line open if you've been trying to reach us, 800-486-8655. Deborah is calling next from Waukegan, Illinois. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, I'm on speakerphone. I'm afraid I'll lose you if I close it. Can you hear me all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're loud and clear.
Yeah, I said to your screener that I really think some brain research is needed because I think there's pretty good evidence that different parts of the brain are triggered by negative, you know, by fear, and by positive things. And I think the positive things tend to involve more reflection and more speculation about an unknowable future. And it's just a different part of the brain. And it occurred to me after I spoke with your screener that actually a friend of mine has gathered together some research about this. I'd love to have you interview her, Andrea Medea. But she has seen some evidence that if you provide certain kinds of immediate grounding, people can actually hear positive things in a way that they can't otherwise. But I think we know an awful lot scientifically that we don't necessarily put to use in areas that are so critical for our future. I mean, you obviously cannot create a government based on negativity. I one other thing, I have sort of a mental op-ed piece for the people who believe in no government, and I was telling a friend of mine about it, and he said, well, yeah, there's a really good place for those people, like Somalia, because there isn't any government there. They should really like it there.
Oh, my goodness. Send us information about your friend. That sounds like it would be an interesting program. Susan?
Yes, well, we do. If Deborah makes an interesting point about the areas of the brain that you try to, you know, that politicians try to touch, you know, they're not, this is a smart area to look at, but not one that I know very much about. This issue that she talks about the size and scope of government that America wants, I don't think there's been another issue more fundamental to what's happened this year than the sentiment among a lot of conservatives that federal government's gotten too big, it's doing too much, it reaches into lives too much, and it ought to be limited, it ought to be curbed. That is one of the big drivers this year, for sure.
And let's talk about that just a little bit historically. The current administration, as you well know, is also being criticized by the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party, economists like Paul Krugman, et cetera, saying that this particular administration was not big enough, that the, mm-hmm. as you know, that the stimulus was not big enough and government needs to be much more involved to keep the economy from sinking even further.
They're right. This criticism that if the stimulus had been bigger, that we'd be in better economic shape. Of course, the stimulus is the size it was because it was hard to get a single Republican vote in support for it, which is something the administration wanted to get. The other area where you see this line of criticism from liberals is that there's no public option in the health care bill.
Right.
Not a government-run plan that some analysts say would save a lot of money, would make a lot of sense. But again, you know, we're divided as a country, and in some ways we're pretty evenly divided on some of these big issues, and that makes it hard to move forward, and it accounts for these swings that we get back and forth because we've got a significant number of people on the two ends that have strong views, and then a small group of people in the middle whose minds change from election to election.
Yeah. Let's go to Dr. Z in Manistee, Michigan. Dr. Z?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate your show, and when I get out to West Michigan, it's enjoyable to hear some discussion in politics.
Great.
I'm a candidate for State Board of Education here in Michigan, and so I've been following politics. I observed that people, both Democrats and Republicans, were really concerned, have been studying the issues for 9 months or 2 years now, and now we're down to the last 30 days, and you got the 20% of swing votes who haven't been paying attention until now, and they're overwhelmed by the number of candidates, and if you can plant something with emotional appeal, and usually that's a negative message, then you can get at those people who haven't been paying attention until now. And they have been paying attention until now because their interest is very small. So that's kind of the circumstance that leads to these negative ads in the last, two, 3 weeks of a campaign. I don't countenance them myself, but people do them because they work. But my question for Sue is the media spin that's put on phenomenon. You were just talking about Tea Party candidates forcing Republicans to get candidates who are hard to elect. How come the media never points out the activities of labor in crippling Blanche Lincoln down in Arkansas, or moving the Michigan Democrats to go far to the left? And Virge Bonneiro is their weakest candidate. He's behind by more than 20 points, and it's all because of activity of labor. And one never hears the media editorialize how the Democrats are beholden to these special interest groups, which leads them to cripple their own candidates and choose the extremists that can't be elected. How come there's not the editorializing on the left?
All right, Susan?
Well, actually, I think there was a fair amount of coverage of that Arkansas primary race where the Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter came at Blanche Lincoln from the left and hammered her, and as you say, with the support of a lot of money from labor, and labor interests unhappy with some positions Blanche Lincoln had taken in the Senate, and it really weakened her. Now, she managed sort of against the odds to hold on to the nomination, but it definitely weakened her, and it's one reason she is in a pretty sorry state in the general election against John Bozeman, the Republican congressman. But so it certainly can happen on both sides. I would just, I guess, disagree that the media doesn't cover that, because we try to come at this without much of an agenda. We try to come to this covering the stories that make a difference in people's lives and the stories that are kind of intrinsically interesting when it happens on both sides of the political spectrum.
Thanks very much for the call. Before we go back to phone calls, I love the piece that you wrote, and I actually had forgotten it was this long ago. It was 50 years ago John F. Kennedy was elected. 50 years ago, Susan.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. 50 years ago, he was only president for just about 1,000 days, and yet continues to have a presidency that resonates for a lot of Americans, which is a pretty remarkable thing.
Yeah. I think one of the things, and again, Shalala is with us next hour, and she was one of the early Peace Corps volunteers. Sometimes it's programs like that that are fairly small that have this huge impact, not only in the countries where they served, but on the people who were in those programs, who've gone into these lives of public service, as she and many Peace Corps volunteers have, that make you think that the government needs to be filled with people who have really good ideas like this and can move ahead with them.
And, you know, for the piece I did on John Kennedy 50 years later, I interviewed Wendy Kopp, who's the founder, as you know, of Teach for America.
Yes. Yeah.
And she says that Teach for America, when she was doing her thesis at, was it at Yale or at Princeton, which was the foundation for Teach for America, she modeled it on the Peace Corps, and she went back and read the early memos to President Kennedy from aides saying, well, we could do the Peace Corps this way, or we could do it that way, it could be this size or that size. So a very direct lineage to a big service program we see today in America's schools.
Let me ask you just briefly about race, because when I think about Kennedy, I come from a very, you know, Irish Catholic family, and I must tell you, I remember that election, barely, but I remember it. And my family was so proud. I mean, they were dyed-in-the-wool Democrats without thinking about other candidates. They just were. That's who they were. But when he was elected, the amount of pride that was felt was really very moving. And I keep thinking of, although it was even bigger with the Obama election, the amount of pride that many people had, and particularly African-Americans in this country, it really brought tears to a lot of people's eyes. And, you know, I'm wondering what happened to that? What happened to all this goodwill, all this sense of history that we felt in 1960 and we certainly felt with the election of Obama?
You know, hope is great, but then you encounter problems and you have to deliver. And so I think it wouldn't be realistic to think that the emotions that people, a lot of Americans felt on election night in 2008, we'd still be dealing with today. We're in this, you know, the hard slog of actually governing. But that doesn't mean, I mean, one lesson of Kennedy's presidency had its ups and downs, but what people remember now are is called the service. They remember the Peace Corps, the mission to the moon, and his considerable contributions to the civil rights movement at a difficult time in that movement. You know, for Catholics, I think there was so much good feeling when Kennedy was elected, but some Catholics note that no Catholic's been elected president since Kennedy, which I think is a little bit of a surprise at the point that breakthrough came in 1960. I'm sure a lot of Catholics assumed that he would be followed by other Catholics in the decades that followed. That hasn't happened yet.
Hmm. Susan Page is our guest. She is Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, and this is All Things Political on the Ideas Network. And let's go to Arlene en route to Chicago. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually from Los Angeles, and I'm driving from Madison to Wisconsin. And every time I'm in this part of the country, I listen to your station. So thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for listening.
One of the comments I wanted to make is that for myself, as somebody who's been fairly invested in politics for a long time, I happen to have a PhD in political science. I am probably one of the many Americans who are so thoroughly disgusted with what has happened to our entire political system. We have it in California right now where we've got a billionaire and a multimillionaire essentially trying to buy the election, which happens all over the country. Either it's them individually or it is organizations that don't have to disclose who's contributing the money that are pretty much walking away with our democracy simply with their money. And the American people just don't get it. It's like they're numb to this. They're unaware of it. And I basically have walked away from all of this. Yes, I still vote, but it's like I cannot even invest myself in any of this because the entire media has turned into a circus of infotainment where there's like no serious journalism going on television anymore because they can't afford to do that, but they can afford to put out all kinds of infotainment for people's entertainment. And so if I, as somebody who's been invested in politics and made a great investment of time and energy and money academically, if I am walking away from all of this and just throwing my hands up and saying, forget it, I'm going to vote for who I normally vote for, I'm going to vote my party, whatever that may be, consider who's left out there. It's left to the people who are actually paying attention to what's going on or have a personal investment in certain outcomes. But for the rest of the Americans, you know, everybody's just busy trying to get by and do what they can. And then I think about health care reform and what's going on there and people's just strenuous objection to ensuring that everybody has access to health care or has health care. And it's because everybody acts in their own self-interest. No, I don't want to pay for anybody else to have health care. But yet, after the fact, when somebody has a medical bankruptcy, everybody's like, oh, we need to help these people. We need to help these people. And it's not until something happens that it compels people to act. But so long as people have a choice about whether or not they want to be a party to helping this country be strong and helping people be strong, and in one way being through health care, they don't want to do it. And the media and the people with the money, they continually and repeatedly manipulate that. And so I'll hang up and listen to the call from this point forward. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Arlene, for calling. Susan.
You know, I'm sorry to hear how disenchanted Arlene is. I cover this stuff all the time, and I have for a long time, and I do not have this quite so glum an outlook. You see an election like 2008, which got millions of vote people who hadn't been engaged in politics before out to the polls. Of course, it's hard to replicate. It doesn't happen every time. But that was an encouraging thing. And we all worry about the power of money in politics, but I'll tell you something we've seen happen that I find pretty encouraging, and that is the ability of the Internet to have small contributions from a lot of people match and overmatch the big contributions from a few people. That's certainly how Barack Obama managed to win the Democratic primary race last time. So, look, it's a time where politics is nonpartisan journalism is undergoing some transition. We worry about many of the things Arlene talks about, but I find our politics pretty vibrant, and I find actually Americans pretty smart and engaged. So I hope that she'll think again about becoming engaged in politics.
On the other hand, though, and I'm usually not very, very glum or pessimistic, you look at, and I wonder if part of this is because of the internet or just plain stupidity, there are a lot of stupid Americans, I think, Susan. This whole, well, I hate to say it, but this thing about whether or not the president is born here and whether or not he's a Muslim, and this huge percentage of American people who believe things that simply are not true. Is that at an all-time high in this country, or what's motivating that stupidity?
Well, what we have is this information revolution that means somebody can have a blog posting not based in fact, and it goes viral, and everybody in the world has heard about it, and some people believe it. So obviously the people who want to combat misinformation, things that are incorrect, like the assertion that President Obama is a Muslim, need to be smart about responding to it. So it's not that we figured this all out, but it's number one, it's, I think, pointless to decry the technological revolution. You're not going to go backwards on it. Figure out how to employ it in ways that you think make sense. And, you know, I do a lot of the USA Today Gallup stories about the USA Today Gallup poll, and I find when I talk to Americans, they're pretty thoughtful. They know the issues that affect them in their lives. Many of them have strong views in different directions, but doing that job has increased my respect for Americans and the decisions that they make.
All right. Thank you, Susan. You're wonderful. Thanks for being with us.
Kathleen, thanks so much, and good luck on your pledge drive.
Thank you. And we'll have good luck. If people go and pledge, then we'll have good luck. Susan Page, our guest for All Things Political, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee, and this is our important fall pledge drive. Please, any gift of any amount makes a big difference in our ability to pay for these kinds of programs, and they are, I got to tell you, this All Things Political is an important show. Variety of perspectives. We're engaged in the political process. It's a very good thing. I love doing this show. Please make a gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Rhonda. Hi, Kathleen. We're still looking for about 16 more pledges, but we have a good, 8 minutes to get there. I think that we can make that goal of 50 pledges this hour.
Oh, I hope so.
This is what keeps us on track to support the programs you count on, like Kathleen Dunn was saying about the All Things Political. Cindy from West Bend, who called in this hour, said Wisconsin Public Radio has helped her to be so much more informed about the world around her. With the upcoming political races soon to be upon us, it's wonderful to have the unbiased debates to listen to. That's true. Of a lot of you out there, guests like Donna Brazile, Ed Gillespie, Julian Zelizer, Ken Rudin, David Winston. Every Monday morning, Kathleen rundowns the week top headlines. So please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us get those last 16 pledges we need to make our goal this hour.
Yeah, let's make that goal for All Things Political, for keeping alive these kinds of political conversations and concern about our country, for heaven's sake. You decide the amount of your pledge. If you'd like to have coffee when you're talking your politics, a $150 pledge will get you the Ideas Network 20th anniversary mug. Please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just find it comprehensive and a good mix of news from around the world and local news, the news about the things and the people that I know. I think that Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the most special things about this very special state. I'm Ann Katz, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news, knowledge, connections, and community.
And we ask you to please pledge, if you agree with Ann, and I know many of you do, please support Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your donation in support of the programs that are important to you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're still looking for those 16 pledges in the next 4 minutes. Thanks if you've already given this hour. If not, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please pledge for all these wonderful guests that you hear on All Things Political. Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease are terrific producers, and they give us just the best. You don't hear these kinds of programs, these guests, on other radio stations. You just don't. They happen here. And I know that many of you really appreciate that. Please give for them and for the kind of work that they're doing. WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and even entertained every day. You get value from this program and also Car Talk, What Do You Know, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Joy Cardine, Ben Marins. WPR gives you a window to the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station. You might be able to make a $1,000 contribution, and that money will help make this station available to everyone. See, we do have the feeling that we're in this thing together. You know, we should all be in this together, and we are. So please pledge. What is it again, Rhonda? How do they reach us?
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks to everyone who pledged this hour.
Muchas gracias. Thank you very much. And we want to thank Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease, Rhonda producing the program, Chrissy doing on-air production. And thanks for all of your calls and for being involved politically. I love that about this audience. We got to get there, though. We need some more pledges, all right? Help us reach the goal by, right after the news. Donna Shalala is coming up. Don't go away.